Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Call Banks is brought to you by Tri-State Kia Dealers. Visit TriStateKiaDealers.com to discover Kia's full lineup of high-quality, stylish, and dependable vehicles, by Foxwoods Resorts Casino, the wonder of it all, and by York Install Confidence, the two-time Super Bowl champion, number 58, our buddy Carl Banks. Carl, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
All right.
Not bad.
Do you want to start with the missed tackles? Do you want to start with the offensive line, the turnovers by the quarterback?
Penalties.
Where do you want to go? Penalties.
Wherever you want.
I know you want to start with missed tackles.
I'm sure they woke up Sunday morning feeling good about themselves, and they probably felt that they were a lot better team than they actually were, and they forgot that the way they were winning games was attention to detail and the little things. And, you know, the quarterback who was skittish under pressure reemerged. The offensive line that didn't do a good job of protecting reemerged. The defense that didn't know how to tackle reemerged. So, I mean, this is the result of it. This is what the pre-break Giants look like. And it's unfortunate, but that's the reality. I have a ton of respect for Henry, the running back they had, but boy, it was tough for me to watch the amount of missed tackles and just poor technique. And, I said it and I'll continue to say it. If you don't know how to tackle a big back, this is what you're going to get. And they saw it in the game before. So I don't know why they didn't game plan how to tackle him. And I said it on air 1,000 times. People probably got tired of hearing me say it. You got to hit these guys below the knees, hit them in the ankles, hit them in the shins. They run a lot different when they know guys are hitting them below the knees or at the knees. And everybody's trying to tackle this big guy high. I don't even know if I would if I was playing against him. I'd put my helmet, I'd put my pads all on his shins, his ankles, and knees and watch him run a lot differently, but it just didn't happen. And I was shocked because, you know, even when you had the guy, he would fall forward for 4 yards. And they put a safety in the box and he just didn't get it done. He wasn't Landon Collins, right? They had plays. The defense was set to stop. Curtis Riley was in the backfield quite a bit. He just couldn't get the guy down. And part of game planning, defensive game planning, is also teaching your players how to attack a particular back. They're not all the same, but they all run the same when you hit them in certain areas. And that's a guy who you had to hit low. He's a big guy. You're sending a safety who's probably giving up 75 pounds to go in there and make a stop. Well, if you want to make a stop, hit him below the knees and watch what happens. But that's a part of coaching. That's a part of game planning also. When good defenses do it, they not only talk about the game plan, but they talk about how you're going to attack each individual player, including a runner.
And on the other end, obviously, the game plan for the Titans was we stop Barkley, we win the game, and that pretty much is what happened.
No. Game plan was let's put pressure on Eli Manning right away to see if the guy who's skittish in the pocket shows up, and then we stop Barkley. So we're going to blitz run downs, we're going to blitz passing downs, and we're going to see if we can get Eli to be uncertain about his decision-making. We're going to see if we can get him throw off the back foot. We're going to see if we can pressure this offensive line. And they did it. They did it to perfection. And I thought, and I still think, that they should have committed to the run game. What happened, they go up 7, the Titans, in the time of possession.
They had the ball forever.
Yeah.
Seemingly
the but
whole
you're
game.
Only down 7.
No, I understand.
No, my point is, but it almost seems as though – the offense or the coaching staff felt like they were behind more, almost like they were pressing.
Right.
I'm saying, no, if you get your run game going, then you're going to get back in this game because there were no threat to run away with the game. Mariota was merely a concierge.
Yeah, that's all.
For Henry.
88 yards passing.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't make a lot. There's nothing meaningful.
He didn't do anything.
Nothing meaningful.
No.
So
no.
All I'm saying is, yeah, they're going to bleed the clock and try to play good defense. Commit to your offense. You'll get back in it because you're not chasing anything but 7 points into the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So, but it felt like getting yards and getting points was so hard. So they just went into pass mode.
Go to a specific moment I'll throw at you. Beginning of the second half, still a one-score game. It felt like it wasn't a one-score game.
Right.
It was a one-score game. Third and 20 after that illegal hands to the face. Do you just kind of take a low-risk move, maybe hand the ball off to Saquon, check down to Saquon, get a couple of yards, kick the field goal? The odds you're not converting on a third and 20. Get 3 points, make it 7-3. You got a kicker that you trust.
Well, if you're down seven, yeah, you go.
That's the situation, yeah.
You go 7-3. You try to get something.
And that
something,
was when Eli threw the pick to Byers.
Right, and they had what they wanted. Now you give them credit. They were in a two-man, but the safety made a hell of a play. Eli threw the ball on time. The safety had a great break on it, but you just can't afford to make the turnover in the red zone. I haven't seen the exact clip. I know what the play was, and I know what the coverage was. Yeah. I don't know if Eli was under any pressure. It looked like a good throw to me. Better play by the defense, but to your point, regardless of whether it was a good throw or not, you can't turn the ball over in the red zone. You got to come out of there with points.
And the way the kicker has been playing, even at third and 20, you're looking at like a 45-yard field goal, which for him, no big deal.
Sure, and I don't mind them being aggressive, but you do in a game where points may be hard to come by. You get down there, you got to come out with some points. Obviously, the intent was that, but you can't go away with no points.
They dropped the blunt of passes too. Benny Fowler had a huge drop.
It was
drop
the team that felt good about themselves coming in, but they forgot what gave them that feeling because it was their attention to detail. They were never good enough to warrant, you know, just taking things for granted.
No, well, of course not.
But it seems like in that game, with all the drop passes, all the missed tackles, it was almost as if they forgot. It took work to win football games.
And the penalties, too.
And the penalty, yeah. They had penalties, and Tennessee did not. You know, Tennessee, I think, had 3 penalties on the game. The Giants had 9 or 10.
Yep.
So this is the result of, you know, a team that didn't come to play. They did not bring their best game against a team that, I mean, the Titans really doesn't scare you. They played good defense, but I don't think the Giants did enough to really put pressure on them.
No.
I mean, they put a guy in the box. Giants didn't make them pay. They ran the Giants out of their run game. Their 2 tight end power run game ran them completely out of it and made them think that they were chasing, you know, 21 points.
Right, and they never were.
They never were, and they went into shotgun thinking they could pass their way out of trouble, and that's a disaster for their offensive line, too.
And they were lucky to be in this game because remember that opening drive, there was a bad drop by Taylor, and then the kicker, Ryan Succop, missed a field goal.
Yeah.
So there should have been points on the board. It was a one-score game for most of this game, even though it felt like it should have been worse.
Well, in reality, I guess it was worse.
Well,
because
it turned out that way.
The team just did not have what it took to win that game.
What did you think of the second Eli turnover in which, I don't know what the hell he's trying to do
should've
on
just
that
took
strip
the sack.
Should have took the sack.
That was it.
Again, this was the guy that Jacksonville found, but Tennessee had him reemerge. You know, a guy that makes bad decisions under duress. He was under duress a lot. They wanted the jittery Eli. They got the jittery Eli. He didn't play well. No one on the offense, the team did not play well, put it that way. Special teams, which had been kind of an asset to them, became a liability again because the offense was now taking the field inside the 10-yard line. They had gotten rid of that for the last 3 or 4 games.
Right.
They were becoming an asset. Now it's back to being a liability. So they go out, they make penalties, offense takes the field inside the 10, and then they make a penalty. Now they're at the, you know, 2 yard line, 3 yard line, trying to come out. That's the old formula for disaster.
The best offensive play of the game was the punter,
Riley Dixon,
getting the first down when, you know, everybody just ran away from him. I mean, why not?
I mean,
that was the best play.
He didn't look like he bobbled.
That was right
it.
After the Fowler drop.
Right.
That was the best offensive play all day.
And it was improvised.
It really was.
Yeah. Coach admitted it after the game. He just couldn't grip the football. It was a little bit wet, and he made a great decision.
Everybody just ran away. That's what they did.
They didn't think there was any way they were calling a fake punt there.
Right.
Let me go back to the challenges because I have a problem with the NFL. If you get a challenge right and then you get one wrong, you should not be stuck without a challenge. If you get one right, keep a challenge.
You
should be
challenge,
one for one, not two for one. The challenge.
You do
which,
keep it if you get the first two right.
Yeah,
you get another
that's
one.
Two for one.
You get
that's
another
stupid.
One.
That's my
but
point.
But if you get one right, you should be able to hold on to it.
Yeah.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Right.
I'm not,
two
I'm
for
not
one is not worth it if you get one right. Like so.
Because if you get it wrong, you charge a timeout.
Right. Yeah.
And
so
there
should
and you're
be a reward for getting it right.
And you're out of challenges like Sherman
correct.
Was.
And that's the point. When he challenges Elagwe going into the end zone, first of all, that was a bad mistake by him. But it was a really good challenge because it showed that the ball should have been downed and they ruled at the 9-yard line.
Right.
I agree with Shermer in that the Giants got hosed. I mean, to me, Derrick Henry's out of bounds.
He looked it.
He was out of bounds. Yeah, 100% out of bounds.
With that said, is it worth it? Knowing if the officials screw up, or in this case, New York City screws up, you are without
here's
a challenge.
Here's the thinking on that. Their defense was getting gouged. So that extra 15 yards made a difference. And if you could have saved that, you kind of saved your defense anyway. They lost it. Defense still on the field with another 15 yards. But I kind of see where they were going because the defense couldn't stop them. And with all the missed tackles, guys out of bounds, do it for your defense. And it should have been in their favor, and it wasn't.
They messed it up.
Yeah.
Mariota, by the way, made a great block on that play.
He did?
Yeah. It's nothing. Look, when you get a guy squared up like that and he's got the courage to go in there and throw it, there's no shame in that.
No, of course not.
It's not like a little wimpy quarterback. You know, he threw his body in there. So
he did.
Kudos to him. And people are like, well, you know, Ogletree got blocked by a quarterback. That quarterback put a big boy block on him.
He did.
If he had ripped up his shoulder, though, we'd probably be ripping it.
Yeah, but, I mean, listen, there's
a
– you're the linebacker. If you're the linebacker pursuing that play and you get laid out like that, you tip your hat because that quarterback put a body on him.
Yeah, no, he did.
It wasn't a wimpy block, I can tell you that.
No.
What? Because I think Giant fans look at this season, and this season's been a disappointment. I don't care what you say about what the expectations were. It's a disappointing season.
Uh-huh.
But coming out of the bye, they're 4-1, they're playing well. You didn't want to hear it, but some Giant fans wanted to hear the playoff scenarios.
Sure.
Here we go. What's the real Giants? Is it pre-buy, what we saw yesterday against Tennessee? Was it the stretch of games they just had until this game? What's the real Giants in your opinion?
They're good enough to beat bad teams, do just enough to lose to good teams. It's what they are right now. And that's a function of personnel. It's a function of quarterback play, of defensive back play. It's all the above, offensive line play. So where they are is somewhere in between. They're good enough to beat bad teams. Just bad enough to lose to good teams. And great teams, they're not there. They're not even on the crest. You know, the elite teams in this league, they're not there yet.
No.
Can they, if they come in and do everything right, can they beat good football teams? Yeah, because good football teams make a lot of mistakes. The elite teams don't make a lot of mistakes. You've got to be better in some areas than them. So that's what this team is. Will they get better? I think they are better. They're a better team than they were last year. I think
that's not
culture,
saying much.
Well, it is.
They won three games.
The culture is so much better than
culture.
It was last year.
Culture.
So when I talk team, I'm talking about on-field performance, and I'm talking about what the foundation is to go forward.
What do you mean by culture? Because every organization in this town uses that word, and I think they all have different meanings. So in your opinion,
so
what is the meaning of culture?
If your locker room has little respect for authority, for coaching, for the rules of how the things should be done, you got a bad culture. And when it continues year after year after year, and the same type of players become the pot stirrers that keep you from moving forward, that is bad culture. they had a touch of that. Not a touch of it. They had it last year. A lot of crap going on in that locker room, right? Sure. They got rid of a lot of players. They got guys to believe in each other. Collectively as a whole, they love each other. They love playing for each other. And they respect their coach, every one of them. So that is a change in culture. And then they put good players in the locker room also. That's another reason why I think the arrow is pointing up for this team. And I'll contrast this for no other reason. You look at what Jacksonville has devolved to.
They're a mess.
Right? They were a winning team, right? Game from the Super Bowl,
yeah.
Right? This year, it all falls apart. You got fights. You got fights in the locker room. You got guys not respecting the coach. Why don't they respect the coach? I would venture to say it has something to do with the quarterback everybody knew should not have been in there. And he became the poster for everything that was wrong. They continuously stuck with him. And they have to work with him every day, right? So when you have a bad culture, you got to clean it up fast because the team is too good in Jacksonville for it to be this bad a year later.
You think they have to fire the coach there?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Which is amazing considering where
because
they
don't respect him.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just amazing that
no,
a year
my
ago.
Point. Yeah, you're right. Because they all of a sudden they don't respect the coach.
Yeah.
Why didn't they? The same guy that got them to a AFC championship is now the same guy who they don't respect enough for a star running back go out and get in a fist fight, gets thrown out of a game. That's a liability.
Sure.
And then he misses, right? That's after missing about 8 games with a hamstring. You got a cornerback who talked so much nonsense and they went at him. You got a quarterback who's the poster for everything that they detest, you know, offensively. So it just became – and then a defensive front that all of a sudden they were one of the most feared. They're just touch and go now.
Yeah.
You know, well, they put their toe in the water. If it's warm, they're in. If not, they're out. Like, there's no reason that they should be this bad. From what I saw, the team that showed up on opening day to where they are now is but that to answer your question, that's what culture.
I got you.
Culture. Mm. So you have to have a buy-in from management, a commitment from coaching, and a buy-in from players.
And you also need more talent. This
and
team
you
needs
talent.
More talent.
Right. Looking but there's ahead. Not but there's not a poster child
right.
for them to detest. They're all in it for each other.
Right. So that's an improvement from a year ago.
Correct.
Besides the record.
Correct. They're all in it for each other.
You think Kyle Laletta not being on the roster, the active roster yesterday, is a bad sign for his future or not a big deal, just had a
coach's decision. I think when they put him in there to see where he was, and he knows where he is now too. He's got work to do. It's exactly what I realize, and most people that are around football, good people know, you don't microwave a guy that comes from his level of play into an NFL star. So he made some mistakes in the game. That is areas where he has to improve. That's not an indictment on him. He hadn't seen it. So they put him in there. Now he sees it. He understands that certain decision-making comes at you pretty fast when a blitz is coming, and you got to make the right decision. So putting him back, I don't think that's a demotion. He's back into study hall. He's
kind of is a demotion, though.
No, he's back in the study hall. They put him up there to get some experience. He got some experience, right?
Right.
Now he knows where he is. Now they know where he is. Now he's back to working
on those
things.
I wonder, though, if he knows where he is.
Oh, if he doesn't, he's delusional.
Well, his comments after the game, he seemed surprised that he was demoted. So I wonder if that means he doesn't know where he is.
Well, listen, again, in this league, you earn your opportunity.
Sure.
Right? And I don't know if he earned the right to be a backup quarterback yet. You know, they brought him up. He got his experience. He should know what this game offers. And I do not criticize the young man. I think this is a learning experience. We all know more about him today,
you know,
than we did before.
You know what Shermer did brilliantly? I've ripped him a lot this year, but I got to give him credit. He did something brilliantly. He has diffused any talk of Kyle Laletta starting the final 2 weeks of the year.
Well,
no one's going to mention it because they saw him for 5 seconds go 0-for-5 and throw an interception. I'm telling you, Joe, over the next 2 weeks, I guarantee we get fewer than 3 calls saying, hey, Kyle Laletta should play.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't disagree with that.
And Sherman,
I mean,
did
you're if you're in it to win games, even in a losing season, you still want to – the win-losses make a difference. So
yeah,
you
want to
improve
position.
From four? Well, listen, if you're earning a lower draft choice, that should be what your goal is. And things normally break the way they should when you draft a little higher than you want or a little lower than you want. You'll get the player that's necessary. But listen, Luletta is a kid that's learning the NFL. They put him in. He knows. He said after the game, well, things were a little different than what I thought they were. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. At least he didn't sugarcoat and say, well, you know, I could have did this. He admitted that things were, you know, let him learn. It's okay. It's okay that he flopped,
right.
You know, in his first half of his NFL career. Most of them do.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
You know, most of them do.
Most guys don't just burst onto the scene. Yeah.
Right. So let him learn. That's what this is about. This is not a demotion. He understands things he has to work on. They knew. The coaches knew all along what he was. Now everyone else does. But that's not a bad thing. It's that he wasn't ready. And now he has to continue to work to get ready. He has something to work towards now.
Indeed. Carl, we appreciate you coming in. We'll talk to you Friday. The great Carl Banks.
Carl, we'll see you Friday. Carl.
All right.
Fantastic as always.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.